their FEPA's HEAT Island program in full pavements is because it is a huge opportunity to help reduce the HEAT Island impact in urban centers. Cool pavements actually refer to a range of established emerging materials, and these technologies tend to hold or store less heat and have oftentimes lower surface temperatures compared to conventional products. So in the industry, the pavement industry, the conventional products tend to be impervious concrete and pavements, which can reach peak SAR time temperatures of over 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Both the pavement asphalt industries have been making advancements and helping introduce emerging materials into the market. So today, not only will you hear about topics related to heat islands and pavements, but because this audience that works on heat island reductions through the pavement topic is also interested and puts effort into sustainable efforts at the local level related to pavements, you will hear some presentations and initiatives related to sustainable pavements as well. And we have an especially interesting city program, Chicago's Sustainable Street Pilot Program, which is what we'll be closing out, that really brings together not only heat island issues, but also other environmental issues, and uses multiple different types of initiatives all in one program. So with that, I'd like to quickly run through today's agenda. I, Naomi, will be giving an overview of EPA's heat island reduction program, followed by Camille Kalush from Arizona State University, the Center of Excellence there. She will be giving a scientific overview of pavements and heat islands. After that, we'll have a brief introduction of U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration Sustainability Initiative by Dave Carlson. And this is just to introduce some of the new topics that are being discussed at the Department of Transportation. And following David, we will have Matthew Corrigan from the Federal Highway Administration. He is an expert on warm mixed asphalt technologies. This is a sustainable pavement technology that uses less energy. So while it's not directly related to heat island impacts, again, it's a topic of interest to those who work on pavement technologies at both the state and local level. And again, as I already mentioned, Janet Atrian from the City of Chicago will be talking about the Chicago Sustainable Streets Pilot Program. At the end of all the presentations, we will have a question and answer session. I encourage everyone to be submitting questions using the GoToMeeting question function throughout the webcast, and please include the name of the presenter that your question is directed to. And now we'll have Nikhil from ICS go over logistics for the webcast. Nikhil?
Yep, just a few quick logistics here. First of all, as Neil mentioned, you will be greeted throughout the webcast. You'll be able to ask questions using the GoToWebinar format, which I'll get to in just a second. The session today is being recorded and will be available for download in a few weeks at the URL shown on the screen. And the URL has also been shown in the chat window on your right in the GoToMeeting window. If you do have any technical difficulties during the program with GoToWebinar, please feel free to email Lauren Peterson at lpeterson@icsi.com. Next slide, please. To see who's attending the webinar as well as who's presenting, you should be able to see this in the attendees window on the right in the GoToWebinar window. Next slide, please. For our questions, please use the questions pane in the GoToWebinar window. Just type it in and hit send. And we'll be compiling all of the questions for the end and asking them to the panelists. To make the process as smooth as possible, please be sure to include the name of the panelists who should be answering your questions so we can compile them accordingly. Next slide, please. And finally, at the end, a pop-up window will appear once you exit the webinar. Please take a minute to answer these questions since your feedback will be very useful. And that should be it for logistics.
Great. Thank you, Nikhil. So I will, this is Neelam. I will quickly go through the heat island reduction program. I will provide a brief overview of the heat island effect. Camille Kalush will also be expanding on this during his presentation. I'll spend some time going over our program and resources. flow and kind of traps in some of the radiative heat. So some of the impacts, I'll quickly go through energy and air quality impacts. Impacts in these urban areas that tend to be hotter is increased energy use in the summers because people use more air conditioning to cool down their buildings and other offices and homes. The electricity demand is higher in these areas, and there's longer peak periods, which adds pressure to the electrical grid, often leading to blackouts and brownouts. Air quality is affected from the warmer temperatures, and also because of increased energy use, there's increased greenhouse gas emissions. Other impacts include warmer water that is running off from these hard surfaces in cities, and also there's human health impacts, such as respiratory difficulties, people having more asthma, there's heat exhaustion, and in the case of extreme heat events, there's also mortality associated with the high temperatures. And EPA actually offers a guide, there's a picture of a guide that helps cities prepare and set up systems to help get people in their cities that are most susceptible to heat events to safe places and getting the proper resources they need to live through those situations. So while those are some of the impacts, our program focuses on mitigation strategies, and these are things that communities can do to help reduce the urban heat island effect. There's four main mitigation strategies: trees and vegetation, green roofs, cool roofs, and cool pavements. Trees and vegetation and green roofs really focus on vegetating surfaces, whereas cool roofs and cool pavements focus on other factors such as holding heat capacity and also solar reflectance. One of the main messages I'd like to send at this time is that using cool pavements is a good approach for reducing heat island mitigation, but oftentimes pairing these strategies together can have the most impact in reducing the heat island effect. With trees and vegetation, you want to strategically plant trees around buildings to help maximize energy savings and also reduce greenhouse gas emissions. With green roofs, again, it's creating vegetative surfaces on top of buildings. Cool roofs, you can do this on different types of buildings with different types of roofs. So, for example, low-slope roofs and steep-slope roofs. But this is based on the reflectivity and the emissivity of these materials. And more information about each one of these mitigation strategies is available on the EPA EDOM website. Cool pavements, the topic of today, I won't spend a lot of time on, but cool pavements tend to be a little bit more difficult to recommend because there aren't established standards like there are for cool roofs, for example. So quickly going into what the program provides, just some information on the heat island effect and mitigation strategies. Our program is basically a communication infrastructure between different parts of the heat island community, which includes policymakers, program designers, researchers, industry, and the general public. We cover topics that are of interest to the scientific community, including the heat island science, measurement, modeling, and also the emerging and innovative technologies coming out on each one of the mitigation strategies. The way we get this information out to people is through our website. There's scientific information available on each one of the mitigation strategies and the heat island effect itself. We have a calendar of events, which I'll refer to later in the presentation. And also, we track two other things: heat island in the news, so anything related to any of the four mitigation strategies or modeling and measurement that comes up in localities, all of those articles are listed on our website. We have a database, and our newest addition is a science corner where we connect to scientific papers that are submitted to different types of conferences. So of the resources, we have a database, and this has examples of different heat island projects throughout the country. If you know of heat island projects or plans that you'd like to have added to this database, review is the Cool Pavements Compendium chapter, and please take a look at this as you develop programs. We offer webcasts through our program, and as you know, today is one. We'll be having another one in about 3 months. Some hedone reduction activities that are happening and ways to get them integrated into your communities is our next topic. So basically, what we try to do with heat islands, because it's a multimedia type of issue, is we try to pull heat island strategies into other types of programs. So for example, water quality, stormwater mitigation programs, land use programs, and green building initiatives. And lastly, there's a huge focus on climate adaptation and how we can help improve the quality of life as the climate will vary. And so linking heat island mitigation strategies into that is also a helpful way to address heat islands in your communities. One thing to bring to light is the U.S. Green Building Council has a rating system. And under this rating system, there is credit related to heat islands. There is the Sustainable Sites Program for the U.S. Green Building Council through LEED. And this 7.1 credit can receive credit through it through many of the different LEED rating systems, such as new construction, existing buildings, commercial interiors, the LEED rating system for schools, for homes, for neighborhood development. And basically, you can see the criteria for this, for how to get heat island credit through the LEED rating system. And Janet will also mention how that integrated into their program. Other ways to integrate heat island programs at the local level is through voluntary and policy efforts, and also as part of energy sustainability, water, air quality programs. Here's a list of some voluntary efforts and more information on this is available in the Heat Island Compendium. Examples of policy efforts. And here are some programs that have heat island activities. The one I'd like to focus on is in Kansas City, the Parking Lot to Parks program. Using a small amount of grant funding, Kansas City and a local regional alliance came together with EPA and focused on how to design parking lots to help reduce the impact and reduce stormwater runoff. And to learn more about this program, use the websites are listed below, but they do actually have some interesting case studies listed. And the one I'd like to call out for people that are interested in learning more about this is the vehicle impound facility parking lot. And here they've taken different types of landscaping and partnered it with pavement to help reduce the heat island effect. Another program that the state of California is supporting through the California Air Resources Board, California Energy, and the California Energy Commission and Lawrence Berkeley National Lab is the Cool Communities Program. This is a California-based initiative. It's part of developing a voluntary program to support the Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006 that was passed in the state of California. The Cool Communities Program is taking on a number of different tasks which are being implemented by Lawrence Berkeley National Lab. And of those, two relate to pavement. And this is the Cool Communities Program pavement training task. Basically, they are putting together workshops on how to get pavement into city planning efforts. And they're bringing together different partners to design and participate in these workshops. If you're interested in more information, you can contact Haley Gilbert. Her contact information is on this slide. Another task that they're pursuing at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab is doing a study on cool pavements. And it is similar in some ways to a literature review where different types of information on pavements is being collected, and the results will be looked at in August of 2010. If you have information that will be helpful to the folks at the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, please contact Ronan Levinson, who is the project lead for this task. So there's a lot of things going on in the field, and oftentimes communities at the local level or state level might be interested in learning about, might be interested in pursuing some of these, and you saw there's a lot of activity happening. But the question is, how can you get funding to do these things? And so the one thing that I would like to just mention is there's ways to leverage federal funding. And through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act that was passed in February of 2009, the Department of Energy received billions of dollars, but each one of these line items, the weatherization, the state energy program, the energy efficiency conservation block grant program, each one of those programs can actually, the money that's coming out for those programs can be used to increase energy efficiency by including heat-down mitigation strategies into the plan and into the projects. So I encourage people to think creatively about how heat-down mitigation strategies can fold into existing programs. Another thing I wanted to bring to your attention, this is basically focused on roofing, but through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, there was an extension to the tax credits that are available for energy efficiency. And if you're interested in, as an individual or as a building owner, using this money for roofing, you can get a tax credit. And these tax credits are available through December 31st, 2010. More information is available at the URL at the bottom. And the last thing I'd like to mention is the Climate Showcase Communities Grant. In 2009 and in 2010, EPA received money through the appropriations bill for a $10 million competitive grant to assist local government in pursuing climate change initiatives. And one of the categories in this grant is heat island management. So the next solicitation for this grant will be open in late spring of 2010. If you're interested, I encourage you to see if you have a project or a program in your community that can relate to heat down mitigation and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Lastly, just some meetings that are upcoming. There's a concrete sustainability conference in April that's in Compton, Arizona. Urban environmental pollution conference, June in Boston. The American Meteorological Society is having a symposium on the urban environment in August, and that is in Colorado. And lastly, the Transportation Research Board Subcommittee on Pavements and the Urban Environment will be hosting a meeting in January of 2011. Camille Kalusha is about to speak and talk a little bit more about that. But I do want to point out that for the Urban Environment Symposium through the American Meteorological Society, there's a call for papers, so if you have topics of interest, you can submit. And also, the TRB Subcommittee on Pavements is accepting papers as well. The last thing before Camille goes into his presentation I'd like to mention is a concrete sustainability hub that MIT in Boston has created.